listening to The Sports Nuts.
Yes, you are. You're watching The Sports Nuts. This is such a fantastic episode that we have lined up. We cannot wait. This is episode 130. Woo. Matt, man, we are so old, man. What, we're pushing daisies, right?
Hey, man, I don't know, man. This is like, man, in the nursing home. Ugh. I don't know what we are right now. Like I said, our grandkids are old now. So this is 130.
Oh, man. But, hey, look, we have two additional faces with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start with them. My man, Ben, what is up, brother? Let everybody know how you're doing.
What's going on? I'm doing good. Just got back from but I was at Jets camp early this morning. It was hot as heck, but happy to be here now.
Oh, yes. Ooh. It is hotter than Blue Blazer. There. Hey, this gentleman sitting below us doesn't really have to worry too much about heat in his neck of the woods. Adam, what's going on, brother?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, it's been hot the last few days, but yeah, we got a little bit of rain today. It's more overcast today, so I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Wait, define a little hot, please, because we're a lot of hot here.
It's been like 80, 85. I think it was pushing 90 one day, but it's nothing like it is over there.
Yeah, it's for the next 6 days, it's going to be 98 to 103.
I wish it was 85. Like, oh,
find me in the pool.
Oh, man, you ain't the only one wishing it was that way. Hey, my man's sitting next to me, though. Matt Thomas, man, how you been? I ain't seen you in a hot minute.
Yeah, man, just life and with life, man. You know, mixed with life on top of life, all right, under life. But we're okay. You know, we love it. Ready for the weekend, man. Ready for the weekend. Ready to sit back, relax, catch up with you guys.
Absolutely. Hey, my man sitting below me, Shane Owen. So, Shane, our guest is not too far out of your neck of the woods, am I right?
Yeah, not too far. Just a couple hours down the road, I believe. But, you know, I'm sitting over here with Adam. Like, it was, I think, 87 here today.
You know what? I got the flag. Like the flag on all of you.
But now the sun's a whole lot closer. So that makes a difference. But man, been gearing up, getting ready for this episode. You know, glad to have Ben and Adam join us. And let's dig into it.
That's right. Yes. Just quickly reminder, everybody, if you are tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube. I don't know if I said that or not. And I think I said Twitter as well. And we're on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and soon to be Podbean. But we also, as you guys see that little ticker scrolling across on there, we will be on TigerNation.live or 95.5 KSCE in Terrell, Texas. Come on and tune in. Have some fun. Get your popcorn ready. This guest that we have on, I am, to be honest, I'm kind of like in shock and awe because she has such high accolades. She is a fantastic individual. She's got a great children's series out there book-wise, which we're definitely going to talk to her about that one. She works at a very high-end company. Her name is Marnie Schneider. Miss Marnie, how are you doing?
Thank you, Brandon. That was a really nice intro. And by the way, I'm so pumped. I love what you guys are doing, and I love your intro. So thanks for having me.
Hey, you can thank Matt right there. Matt's the one that created the intro. If you think the intro is good, the outro, Matt, kind of let him know what the outro is about.
it's just a little bit of cyberpunk stuff. That's it. Just something very minuscule. Very, very, very minuscule.
I love it, Matt. Bravo. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Marnie. And we are pleasantly, like, we are delightful to have you on with us today.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm so excited to be here. And yes, football is right around the corner. A week from today is the Hall of Fame game.
How does that, I mean, first off, before I get into the question with you, can you just say that word again? Football is back. Come on. Can I get an amen on that one, please?
Absolutely. Football is back. Amen. Let's go.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm ready.
I mean, you realize that yesterday was the last Thursday we will not have any football until February. And I'm like, the world just seems better when we have football back. And I know there's so many people that agree with that one. It just feels amazing. But, you know, Marnie, I am so excited and thrilled that you came on. I absolutely love everything about you, you know, but what makes me smile even more is knowing that sports is like in your genetics, like your DNA. You know, the fact that your grandpa, by the way, who founded the Philadelphia Eagles, Ronald McDonald House, can you kind of explain, and everybody who's watching, can you tell everybody, like, what is a typical fall day like in the Schneider household?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud of my grandfather and his accomplishments. He is the original founder with a few other amazing people of the Ronald McDonald House Charities, and we'll talk about that. And I love the Ronald McDonald House. And my grandfather also did own the Philadelphia Eagles, and he did something really cool. When he owned the Eagles, he put the first woman in the highest position of all of professional sports, general manager, and that was my mom. So my mom, Susan, is still to this day the only female that's ever been vice president, legal counsel, and general manager of a professional football team. So I'm so proud of my mom's accomplishments and my grandfather. So what is football like? Well, we love football, obviously. And now I get to say that I'm a football fan because I have a series of kids' books. So while I did grow up in Philadelphia and, of course, love the Philadelphia Eagles, I love all the teams. I love getting excited about reading and being a fan. There's really nothing more fun.
You know, you're right. And, you know, shout out to your whole family. I mean, like, that is something you don't see very often on that. You know, the fact that, you know, your family is basically the founding fathers of one of the most prestigious NFL franchises in the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Shane, you have a question. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, in doing a little bit of research for tonight, you know, I found out many of interesting things about you and your family. You know, one, you played Joyce as the flight attendant on The Wedding Singer. That was a great little factoid. If y'all want to check it out, it's when Adam Sandler is wearing the white blazer on the plane.
Yes, I'm a hot towel flight attendant. So,
yes.
And then he does
it tonight,
you know.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, as Brandon hinted to, you've got a strong, you know, football background and, you know, kind of a revered sports background in that same sense. You know, can you kind of give us a little bit of insight on some, like, really cool stories? I know in research, and I found a couple of stories, maybe one about the Eagles, and then how your series – you know, Freddie and Fumble the Dog kind of came about with your mom on the plane, kind of doing that kind of thing.
Oh, definitely. Well, actually, Fumble wants to say hi. So here is Fumble the Dog.
Oh.
He really exists. There he is right here. Oh, and my other dog is right there. So
yep.
Watching, there's the other one. I have a few other dogs.
Oh, yeah. Mine's laying on the love seat right beside me.
We love our
Johnny already tried to say hi.
Yes. Animals are definitely family, so we love them. You know, growing up and traveling around and getting to see all these great cities was something that I was so fortunate to do. So on many plane rides way back, you know, in the 80s, there were no iPods or iPhones. There were legal pads and pens, and my mother handed me both of them and said, why don't you write about what you've seen or what we're doing and whatever else. So that turned into the very first kind of the very rough draft of Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog. And I didn't do anything with it. And then about 7 years ago, my mom was starting to have some symptoms of dementia. And so she told me, she said, I think that it'd be great if you took out your notes, let's do something with it. And so we did. And then the very first Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog book came out in 2018 right here. And what I love about my book series is that I love getting kids excited about reading. I love getting kids excited about being a fan. And I love actually getting kids excited about learning. So, you know, you travel along with Freddy and Fumble, and this is the Philadelphia book, and you see all the great places. And then you make your way to the stadium to cheer on the home team, because there really is nothing more fun than being a fan. And as far as some crazy stories, oh boy, you know, I think that I guess not growing up having an iPhone was probably a good thing, because I guess there were crazy things that were happening. But I would say this, that nothing too crazy other than they probably travel a little more luxuriously now than they used to. And that I think that definitely the game plan and game planning has changed a little bit. But other than that, you know, I still think everybody just wants to go out there and win on Sunday. That's it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Real quick side note, my daughters actually had one of your books read to them in their class.
Really?
My oldest is 7, going on 17. My second, my middle daughter, she is 5. She turns 6 actually next week.
Wow.
And then my 4-year-old turns 5 in November. But the other day, my now 1-year-old just turned 1. So, and, you know, when I tell you this, so out of all of us here, Matt and I are the only ones who are girl dads officially. I mean, Shane has a dog named Lily. And she is a sweetheart. She's absolute love bug. She's this big Great Dane. So she's a big dog. But you know, as far as like two-legged, it's me and Matt are the girl dads. Matt, you have a question. Go right ahead.
Yes, Marnie. Piggybacking off of you talking about Sundays. You know, with your family, what were your Sundays like during football season?
So Sundays, if it was an away game, then we would, you know, get up early. We would be out of town, go to the stadium. And I would say this, that it's a job. I mean, my mom was running the team. So while there were moments of fun and excitement, there was also a lot of times where it was kind of boring for me because people are working. Like, that's the other thing, is that the players are working, the coaches are working, the executives are working. So I think it was a good thing that I was able to find ways to entertain myself. And I certainly did that. That's again, like how the genesis of Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog started. So football Sundays were always, you know, very much like a big day, obviously. And we always wanted the Eagles to win. If the games were being played at home, then I was fortunate to have some of my friends join us at the stadium. Although often there weren't enough seats, maybe in my grandfather's area. So we would sit in, you know, my mom's office and watch the game on closed circuit. And that was fun too. So I think that I had a really unique bird's eye, no pun intended, although maybe to watch the game. And I will say this, you know, my books are for boys and girls, but I think that it's great when young girls can love the game of football, because it brings so much into their life and so many conversations and so many things that will ultimately help them. I always say sports is the universal language, but especially for girls, if they can speak a little bit of sports, it will just help them with every single thing that they're doing in their life.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. You know, my daughters, well, more specifically Addison, my oldest, she's glued to the TV when the Falcons come on. Yes, we're diehard Falcons fans. When the Falcons come on, we are glued to the TV. But my daughter has an infinite love, because I used to be the producer of Furman Athletics. So I would get the privilege of, you know, producing basketball and football for Furman Athletics. And my daughter is a huge Furman fan. So we go to Furman football games. She cheers on left and right. My second youngest, Holden, she absolutely loves the Furman cheerleaders. So I might have a cheerleader on my hands, but you're right about sports.
Cheerleaders are athletes too. They are definitely athletes. Good for her.
They absolutely are. And I love when I see girls get involved with sports. It means so much more. Ben, go ahead, man.
Great being with you guys here again. Benjamin Rodriguez here from Inside the Locker Room TV. And great to see you as well, Marnie. I wanted to ask you, obviously the connection with the Eagles is great. And you also mentioned the connection with the Ronald McDonald House. I wanted to ask, what are the plans for the rest of 2025 for the Ronald McDonald House? And I also saw you guys had the Christmas in July event. And so what's your guys' sort of plan for 2025 and beyond?
Well, okay, so the Ronald McDonald House is a international charity. So they have homes for families to stay if there is a sick child all over the world. And I will say this, that in 1974, when the very first Ronald McDonald House opened up in Philadelphia, they thought big, but they did not think that 51 years later that it would be this gigantic multinational charity all over the world helping families. So the plans are, where I am located, right outside of Charlotte, I'm very involved in our local house here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we've got lots of fundraisers, amazing things. The house and the charity itself, globally, there are so many plans. I mean, they're building new houses. They're expanding their footprint in many hospitals where there are opportunities. They've got their carts that go around where the children's section is and pediatrics. So the Ronald McDonald House is an incredible charity, and it's not necessarily funded by McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's helps and they're great partners, but they are not fully bankrolling it. So when you go to a McDonald's and you contribute a few pennies into their little Ronald McDonald House on the counter or Roundup, those are great things to do, or buy a Shamrock Shake in February, March. Those are all supporting the Ronald McDonald House. So tell all your listeners and viewers to go do that. It's a great thing. And you never know. I mean, I have encountered so many families that have stayed at the Ronald McDonald House. And once they kind of even know the story that it was really because of a team and a young girl who was sick and how it all started, it's really such a beautiful story that I'm fortunate that I get to share.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and shout out to the Ronald McDonald House. Shout out to all who help make children's lives better. My daughters, I've had to go to Shriners Hospital, actually, here in Greenville. And each one of them, except we don't know yet for Aspen, our youngest, but every one of them, they've rebounded and done really well. So shout out to every charitable company that does this for children. It really does make a huge difference. Adam, go ahead, man.
Hi, Adam Blake here from Inside the Locker Room as well. Very nice to meet you, Marnie. My question was, I was wondering, as an inspirational speaker, what are some of the words or stories you use when speaking to the next generation of youth?
So I think that, first of all, thank you, Adam. I think it's so important to remind everybody how great they are, not in a gratuitous way, but just that sometimes we, you know, think small and we don't think big and we don't remember how good we are and we don't remember some of the things that make us so special. So I really try to highlight that. And I learned that, I think, from Coach Dick Vermeil, because he would always say to the players and to everybody, you don't even know how great you are. And I'll tell you this, when somebody that you respect tells you that, you really actually feel that and you understand it. So for me, getting an opportunity to share messages like thinking big and you don't know how great you are and civility is not a sign of weakness, those are things that messages that are really important that I think resonate with younger people and people from all over, older people, younger people. I have three kids that are now in their early 20s, but I think that I've been able to share with them those messages, and they're great kids and doing great things and carving out their own path. And so I'm very proud of what they're doing and their friends as well. So I think that just letting people know how great they are and that they matter, that's always, no one's ever going to be like, oh man, she's really a jerk. She told me how great I was. Usually people won't say that. So I think just reminding people that they're great and telling them and smiling and waving and being kind, those are all things that we can do easily.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right on there. You know, Martin, you work at one of the most prestigious companies in the world, the NFL Films.
I don't work there anymore, but I used to work there, but yes.
Okay. So, you know, you've seen a lot, you've experienced a lot, just the accolades that you have, you know, you have an award-winning book series for children. You know, what kind of inspired you to write the stories for youth?
So when I got out of college, I did work for NFL Films, and I had this incredible opportunity to work for Steve Sable. And Steve died about 12 years ago, and around 12 years ago. But Steve was an incredible filmmaker and storyteller. So, you know, I was already writing my own stories before I worked at NFL Films. Like I said, I started writing Football Freddy in the 80s. So learning what – learning how to tell a story, though, is different than actually just taking out a piece of paper and writing a story. They're both great, and they're both amazing coping skills that people can do. And I encourage people to write and read because they really are so helpful. So for me, after working in NFL films and being, you know, of course, Joyce, the flight attendant, everybody's favorite. In fact, I think BuzzFeed magazine did rank me as everyone's favorite flight attendant. I have to go back and look. But so doing some of those fun little things and getting to go to movie sets and working in Hollywood, I really decided that I wanted to find ways to make a difference. Of course, I always do charity work and I'm very involved in the Ronald McDonald House, but finding ways to get kids excited about reading, playing, and being a fan. So I took it. All the things that I knew and said, I think we're going to be able to do something that is going to be special and unique. And now I've written 12 books with 11 different NFL cities. And then I partnered up with the Pro Football Hall of Fame 2 years ago. So I did Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog Game Day in Canton. And there you get to travel around Canton, Ohio, which is a great city, and also feel like you're at the Hall of Fame. So you do the gold jacket dinner, you do the game, you know, do the enshrinement. And so those are things that most people won't get to do, but I wanted them to feel what it was like to be at the Hall of Fame. And so I'm really proud of that book. And I've written 12 books now, and we're going to keep going. And, you know, we might even do a little baseball is happening. So that'll be exciting for 2026. And, you know, just again, getting kids excited about reading and getting adults excited about sharing their love of reading and their love of being a fan. Those are things that really warm my heart, and getting everybody enjoying just participating in it is something really special for me.
You know, I've been in this media industry for 23 years, and I absolutely think it's the most rewarding thing because you can touch so many lives. You know, yeah, we're here between the screen and you know, a microphone and whatnot, but the amount of lives you can really touch, it really makes a difference. You know, one of your daughters actually just graduated from App State. I don't know if you knew, but we actually had Adam Witten, the play-by-play announcer of App State, come on a couple episodes ago, and that was actually really cool. But, you know, real quick, before I go to Shane, what is some advice you can give to young, aspiring minds who want to be journalists? Like, look, Ben is actually – he is going to school for journalism, yes. You know, and – Adam also has aspirations to be a fantastic journalist, but what advice can you give to the youthful minds who are considering possibly having a career in the journalism industry?
Well, first of all, bravo to you guys. And what I would say is that telling the story, I mean, Steve Sable was so great because he would take these note cards and he would write down kind of three or four different ideas of what he wanted to talk about in the story, whatever it was, whatever player he was highlighting or ever team. And so I think that writing, just doing as much writing as you possibly can, definitely is a great jumping off point to go and continue your career in journalism. But look at what you guys are already doing. You have a podcast. It's a great name. You're talking about sports. You're out there doing it. Just keep doing it. The thing is, consistency with anything is key. It's consistency. That's it. Whether you're an athlete, whether you're in front of the camera, behind the camera, you've got to just keep doing it and going and going and being consistent. And then once you know that that's really all it takes, then you're there. Then you're like, okay, I can do this. And then the fun part really happens because you can see the success start to really happen.
Oh yeah. Shane, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, I, like I said, I do a little bit of research, so I want to, you know, congratulate you being on the board for the Ronald McDonald House. You know, you've got another thing that you're on the board with Soldiers, Sidelines and Soldiers.
Yes.
I believe. And then also winning the Alzheimer's Association Excellence Award and partnership, kind of what your mom went through and all. And, like Brandon's mentioned, you know, I'm not too far away in the mountains of Brevard, North Carolina. So, you know, can you kind of give us, you know, an insight on how the move to the Carolinas And, you know, it, like I said, in research, the edutainment movement that you have.
Thank you, Shane. So 7 years ago, we were living in Calabasas, California, the home of the Kardashians. Okay. So if anybody out there has ever heard of Calabasas, we were not neighbors with them, but we would, you know, we would see them from time to time. And so my first book was about to come out and I wanted it to be successful. And I wasn't sure how I was going to get to Philadelphia from California a couple times during the season or maybe even weekly to promote the book. So I asked my kids, I was like, hey, listen, in the real world, you move across the country for family, for work, for romance, whatever it is. Would you guys be open to taking a year? Let's see if we like it. And we're going to move to North Carolina. And my kids said, okay, we'll try it. And I which I thought was great. And I said, I don't know anybody here. You guys won't know anybody here. We're all going to be total rookies. Let's just see. Moved across the country, didn't know anybody. My daughter was going into ninth grade. My oldest was going into 11th grade and he played football. So I was hopeful that that would be a good transition for him too, and to play football here. And my youngest was going into seventh grade. And, you know, like anytime you move and you do things, there's going to be a little bit of like a period where you're kind of like, oh gosh, what have I just done? What did I do? Oh my gosh. I can't believe I did this. Where am I? I don't know where I am. I'm getting lost. And thank goodness for, you know, Google Maps and whatever and navigation systems. But it was a really great learning experience for all of us. So I was excited to do that with my kids. Like I was like, we're all in this together. Let's go do it. So moved to the Carolinas and it was great because then I also knew that I could get to Philadelphia at least a couple times a month to go promote my first book and get it out there, which is what happened. And so then that book was successful. And again, like doing things consistently, then we went on to do another book, Game Day in the Carolinas, and then continued, you know, like I said, now my 13th book is coming out. But when we got down to like the nitty gritty of what Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog Game Day is, it's sports, it's entertainment, and it's education. So we branded our own term called sports edutainment. And we're really proud of that because it's a whole new category of books. I'm currently working on a young adult novel that just for fun, which is so much harder than I ever thought it was going to be, believe me. So, because I was like, well, when our readers grow up a little bit, they're going to want something else to go into. So I'm going to write a young adult novel. And it's kind of like Gossip Girl meets Ballers meets First and 10, but sports edutainment. So sports, we all love sports. We can all agree that you might not like somebody politically or you might not like that player or whatever, but we all love sports. It's a great bonding thing for everybody to come together, and education and entertainment, we can put those together. And that is a win-win-win.
Absolutely. You know, and we always say here, sports unites everyone, no matter what their affiliation is. Sports makes the difference. Matt, go ahead.
Absolutely. Now, Marnie, you know, it's a beautiful thing that your path isn't just sports. You know, it's also about giving back. So can you kind of explain to us, like, how do you balance purpose and passion in your career?
Well, I think that that is a beautiful question. And I probably can't separate them because when I get very passionate, my purpose is overwhelming. So I want to get kids reading. And if that means that I donate books and my publisher says, enough, you've done enough already, I'm like, no, we have to do more. I think that that's what we're here for. And if I can find ways to add value to communities and make kids happy and make families know that they matter, then I will do whatever I can to do it. Now, I'm also running a business. So like, I have to remember that I am a business person and I have a good business mind, but it sometimes does that that character, that part of me gets on the bottom rung because my passion and my purpose are really the same. My passion is to get kids reading, give them skills to have coping skills. I think reading and writing are great and playing are the best coping skills that we can give kids. And hopefully that will help them feel good about themselves and maybe not want to get into trouble and find mentors that are positive influences on them and stay, you know, away from drugs and alcohol. And I think that it might sound kind of naive, but I do think that getting kids excited about reading and playing, and those are things that eventually and will help them down the path of being successful.
Matt.
Awesome. Now, Marnie, I just want to tell you one thing. I want you to look at your screen and read this. I welcome you to be a Panthers and Panthers Warriors fan. Don't you ever do this. Do not do this with the screen says. I just want to let you know that. Do not do what the screen says. Keep it Philadelphia, keep it Eagles, and everything will be down. Blessings towards you.
Well,
calm down, man.
You know, this is what I love about sports, and I love the teasing and the poking and whatever. It's so fun, and who doesn't like to, you know, have a little bit of self-deprecation? I, of course, grew up, you know, yes, I love the Philadelphia Eagles, and I have to be careful because my friends are like, what? You don't like us anymore. I'm like, no, I love the Eagles, but I'm a football fan. I've written, you know, books about other cities like, you know, let's see here. Yeah, Kansas City.
That was a rough one
because that book just came out. Denver. So, and like, these are my two most recent books. And Game Day in Denver, my co-author is Letha Atwater. And her husband, Steve Atwater, played for the Broncos. And,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
This book, and Letha is an incredible woman. And she is a licensed professional therapist. So we have some very gentle mental health tips in here, which we're really excited about. Again, just basic things, because obviously if there's something going on, you need to see a professional. But just remember, being with your friends, being a good friend, eating well, exercise, those are good. And of course, reading. And then like Game Day in Kansas City, Julie Green, Trent Green, her husband was the quarterback. Wow. And she was my co-author on this book. So super excited about these two. And I've got Game Day in San Francisco coming out, where Ricky Waters' wife, Kat Waters, the amazing
Ricky Waters.
We're really gonna go wild now. So I've got Kat as my co-author and Tommy Vincent, and her husband Troy played for the Eagles and played for the Dolphins. And so Tommy and Kat are my co-authors. So we've got three girls, lots of fun. We added a cat in, so we've got Fumble and a cat. And they're going all throughout San Francisco to make their way to the stadium to cheer on the home team.
Love it. Ben, go ahead.
So for my last question for you, Marnie, as a Kane University enrolled student, as Brandon mentioned before, here in New Jersey, shout out New Jersey. I wanted to ask, it's great to see what you're doing with all these books and all these positive messages. I wanted to ask, what would you tell your younger self as a younger journalist in the past and author as well? What would you tell yourself in the past to maybe, you know, sort of guide yourself towards a specific path? Or would you not have changed anything that has led you up to this point?
Oh, it's such a good question. Thank you. You know, I think about my younger self, and I think about the fact that I am really grateful for all these opportunities that I had. I think that what I would tell my younger self is that to know that you can believe in yourself and that things are going to be okay. And I think that ultimately things are great. But again, that doesn't happen just because you fall into it. You have to remember that you have to be a good friend and be a good child and be a good listener and be a good sport and get involved in things. So I feel like I would tell my younger self, maybe, you know, get involved in a little bit more of things. But ultimately, I try to now just look forward and say, all right, now we got a lot of heavy lifting to do. So let's do it.
Absolutely. By the way, we love the photo bomb in the background there of your dog. We just had, Matt and I are actually joking about it.
Yep, he's
going to town. Yeah.
Having a good time. Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're okay.
No, you're good. You're good.
There you go. Okay.
Adam, go ahead.
As someone who personally has dreams of working in an NFL front office one day, I wanted to ask what it was like to grow up in an NFL family and see your mom work as the first female NFL GM in history.
So I am so proud of my mom and everything that she did to really make a difference and bringing in amazing, accomplished people that are still part of the NFL tapestry today, men and women. And even today I was out and I ran into this guy named Jackie, and he was an equipment manager, and he's like, I love your mom, and she gave me an opportunity. And so I think that for me, I got to see people doing things that, like I said, my grandfather was pretty brave in many ways, and he put a woman in a position of power. My mom took people that were never in football and said, you know what, you're smart, I believe in you, you can do this, and gave them opportunities. And then they created incredible careers for themselves, even though they might not have ever dreamed of where they were going to be. So I think that that's really the great thing. And I am so proud of my mom and everything she did in the NFL and certainly in Philadelphia to empower people to go and do big things. And Coach Ramil always says, if you want to do big things, you got to do big things. So I quote him all the time, but it's true. If you know, you have to go big, you have to, and you have to remember that there's a learning curve, but if you keep converting and you keep going and doing and listening and learning, you will get there for sure.
Love it.
I love it. I love everything that you've told us. Marnie, I got to ask you real quick before I let you go. What is it like knowing the great Vince Papale? I would absolutely, if you can throw, you know, I did send him a message, but if you can throw a good word in there to come on, I would absolutely be a kid at the candy store.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that, okay, so I'm going to let him tell the story because I don't really know it, but the fact that you have nuts in your podcast name, there is a Vince Papale and the nuts thing, there's something about that. I'll let him share that. But yes, oh yeah, Vince and Janet, his wife, they're amazing people, his whole family. I mean, Vince, what a great story about overcoming any obstacle and seeing a vision and continuing to just believe in yourself and making it happen. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, and then it's like, that's an amazing story right there. But then you have Mark Wahlberg play you in a movie. I mean,
yes.
Just so it's not like he did this, like he, two times. He was like, I'm a football player, I'm on the Eagles, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then 20 years after that, Mark Wahlberg is playing him. I mean, come on.
But it shows the Philly heart too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yes. I will tell him about you guys. Brandon, just send me an email. I'll send it to him and we'll get him on.
Excellent. Marnie, I appreciate you. Not 1,000, but 2,000%.
No.
You took time out of your Friday evening to come on our show. And it absolutely means the world to me, to Matt, to Shane, to Ben, to Adam, to everybody watching. We greatly appreciate it. Can you quickly let everybody know where they can find you, please?
Yes, they can find me on Instagram at MarnieSchneider1. They can find me at Facebook, Marnie Schneider. They can go to MarnieSchneider.com, LinkedIn. They can send you a message, Brandon, and I'll respond. You know, again, if there's teachers out there or parents out there and they want to talk about books and getting their kids reading, I'm happy to help them. And, you know, they go to Amazon, they could buy the books. So go Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog on Amazon. And remember, it's like, we have to get kids reading. That is ultimately our goal. When kids read, we all win. That's what we say. So we're going to be winners and get kids reading. Right now, there's definitely a little bit of a reading crisis in our country, and that is not good. So when kids read, they can do anything. They can become professional athletes. They can become podcasters like you guys, journalists. Yep. So we got to get them reading. So that's really my number one mission, is to get kids excited about reading and playing. And of course,
what definitely a great Christmas gift for my nephews, probably.
Yes.
Hey, Marty, I need to mention this. My wife just commented, actually.
Okay.
So she is a teacher at a school for dyslexia. Okay. It's the first of its kind ever in the entire United States. It's a free charter school for dyslexic children. It's called Lakes and Bridges Charter School here in Easley, South Carolina. So they go from first grade to eighth grade. And, you know, I'll have Cassie message you, because I guarantee you, if we can have you come and talk to the kids at Lakes and Bridges, they're going to be kids at a candy store kind of thing.
Done. So done. Have Cassie email me, text me. You have my number. Have her text me. Yep. We will set it up. We'll go there. We'll do a little pep rally, get kids reading. You know, I mean, I love doing that. In each of my books, we kind of have some things that are, you know, interesting to me and interesting to other families, like Game Day in Pittsburgh, for example. Freddie travels around Pittsburgh with Hugh, her tour guide, my college roommate's son. And what makes Hugh extra special is that Hugh is autistic. And so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so Stacy, Hugh's mom, is my college roommate, still my best friend, and we wanted to highlight the fact that while Hugh might be autistic, he's still the best tour guide for the city of Pittsburgh. So,
love it. And we have a friend of ours, actually, Shane's cousin. Mm-hmm. His name is Ben. Shane, quickly let her know about Ben if you can.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ben's a great story. He was diagnosed with autism. He was, you know, kind of one of those ones that you thought might be nonverbal and stuff, but, and he's actually a faithful member on our Wednesday series that we came up with this summer, Training Days with the Sports Nuts, kind of highlighting all 32 teams in the NFL. But he's a Terminator. That's where he works, but he's going to get his insurance license. So it's a great story. And even my cousin, Mary, and her husband, Jason, they lost a son, a twin, to juvenile leukemia. And they do a big thing with Lachlan the Tiger here. It was probably a couple of years before you moved down this way, but they have a great foundation and give back to the community. I think that they've matched, I think, over 30 now people. Wow. together with bone marrow recipients. So
that's awesome.
So it's great to hear. And you know, you as a philanthropist and everything, you know, I know it kind of passes down through generations being that, and you know, you're a great one for that, and we really do appreciate you coming on, for sure.
Yes, well, we do.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, and what a beautiful story to share. And you know, that's why we have to all roll up our sleeves and make a difference. That's it, and tell these stories, because people want to hear them. So I'm thankful that you shared that with me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And and like I said, Cassie will reach out to you. She's actually standing right here. She did this to let me know to get a number. So expect Cassie sending you a message. Sound good?
Good. I will look forward to it. And I'll be seeing you soon. And anybody that wants to come join us down there, that'd be great. I'd love it.
Absolutely. Marnie, you have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon. Sound good?
That's right. Football's back. Let's go.
That's right. That's
right. Have a good one.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Marnie.
Guys, what a fantastic, like, I mean, she's an absolute amazing individual, great guest. Had so much fun having her on, and I'm beyond thrilled to have it. But guys, the show, we're not done yet. We have a really good show lined up. Guys, I got to start off with this. It's another day, and another sports legend has unfortunately gone over the Rainbow Bridge to the other side. Hulk Hogan, unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 71. You know, and I'm going to start with our guest host tonight. I'm going to start with Adam on this one. You know, Adam, I know you're young still, but I want to know what some of your most fondest memories you had of Hulk Hogan growing up.
Yeah, actually, when I lived in Minnesota, that was when I was younger, and that was when I was into WWF and WWE wrestling, kind of right when it transitioned, and Hulk Hogan was still one of the faces of wrestling, and probably will be forever and ever. So, I mean, it's a tremendous loss to the whole wrestling community. he's just, I mean, he's got so many signature moves, so many things like that. So, yeah, I mean, he meant a lot to me when I was watching wrestling when I was younger.
He also has that signature saying, brother. Ben,
exactly.
I know you're young. I know you're a very young one, but do you have any fond memories of Hulk Hogan growing up?
Not really. I kind of, unfortunately, even when I was even younger, believe it or not, you know, call me young now, but even when I was even younger, surprisingly, I wasn't really that much of a, you know, WWE kid back in the day, but I just always remember, you know, obviously the video games as well, him being a huge presence in those. But as far as, you know, as the wrestling community, like Adam said, super sad to, you know, see the friends that he had, such as Ric Flair, you know, react to the news and such. So sad to see, you know, him leave, but also looking at the impact from a, you know, more of an outside perspective, definitely can see that he affected a lot of people.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan was a signature name. Matt, you agree, right? He was the signature name that, you mean, you're almost the same age as me. Yes, you're older than dirt. So kind of give us your fondest memories that you had of him, and stop shaking your head.
Brandon, one.
Here's the flag again. You got another flag. Sorry. I had to throw the flag.
One pleasantry that I have in life is knowing that I will always be younger than Brandon.
You know what?
But I grew up watching, you know, Hulk Hogan rip the shirt, point to the crowd, and tell folks to say their praise and eat their vitamins. You know, whether you loved him or you were rooting for the other guy, you know, Hogan was wrestling. His legacy is massive. Like, he has massive legacy, man. And 71 kind of feels too young. That's an icon who defined an era, you know, so rest in peace to the Hulkster.
What do you think, Shane? What are your fondest memories that you had growing up of Hulk Hogan?
Oh, man. Of course, you got to think of Hulkamania to start with. And then, kind of Hollywood Hulk with the NWO.
Yes.
And then, you know, you get into the WCW Wars, which is now WWE. You kind of get into that kind of deal. But Terry Hulk Hogan will be missed by many. As a casual fan, what he did for the sport to elevate it the way he did, you even look at that first big matchup with him and Andre the Giant, the way it boosted the sport back then to a, it was kind of mainly generalized towards the South. And you had many subdivisions of it. It kind of brought it to the forefront there. And so he was one of the pioneers of professional wrestling in the way we look at it today. But he may be gone, but Hulkamania will probably always live on.
Absolutely, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. So this next story, I'm so glad I have Ben on for this one. Ben is our diehard Jets fan. He absolutely is a diehard Jets fan.
Unfortunately.
Thankfully, though, this injury that happened at training camp, God, it could have absolutely been, an implosion kind of alert for the Jets. For those who don't know what we're talking about, Justin Fields did a non-contact injury. It was carted off. People thought it was a torn Achilles, actually. Come to find out, it's a severely dislocated toe. But I'm going to actually have Ben talk more about this. And Ben, I got to ask, did the Jets really mess with some voodoo juju to, like, have everybody imaginable get hurt with their Achilles?
Man, I don't know if it's some juju or whatnot, but our quarterbacks just have no luck here in the New York Jets. So it was just super scary to see at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time in the morning. So it was bright and early notification that I got from X or Twitter, whatever you may call it. But yeah, every Jets fan was just holding their breaths that morning.
Mm-hmm. And what have you seen this off? Well, actually, this whole off season, and now with training camp, that can sit there and say that, you know, the Jet, because we know we didn't have you, unfortunately, get to have you on our training day episode. But what have you seen that could say, man, the Jets, they could be good, but man, they could absolutely be worse than last year. Like, what have you seen?
So I definitely think worse than last year is kind of out of the equation for me, and I'm sure for most people as well. Aaron Glenn, you know, started the practice bright and early this morning, wasted absolutely no time with team drills and, you know, everything going on at Florham Park, the Jets training facility today. And, you know, it was just great to see everybody in their own, you know, little sections doing all their team drills, the offense and the defense. But as far as, you know, what makes me think that this year will be a better one than, you know, the last 14 or 15 seasons that, you know, I've been doing this, watching this team is, I guess, the newness and everything. You have players competing with a new coaching staff that, you know, they've never had before, but they're still trying to find their identity in all of this. I still think the contract extensions that Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner earned is a big, you know, step forward for this New York Jets team. But it takes a lot more than that, obviously, with, you know, contract extensions and players being mocked up on the roster. So we're just going to have to see how the players perform on the actual field. And I think when the pads, you know, come on soon for this next few training camps, we'll get to see that identity a lot more.
Absolutely. Matt has something he wants to talk to you real quick about the Jets, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to kind of mention something on the Jets real quick. You know, me, myself, you know, living in Jersey for the first 6-7 years of my life, man, the Giants, Jets, Nets, those were kind of the first, you know, teams that I got, the first sports teams I got introduced to. So, you know, at this point, man, you almost feel like the Jets are dealing with some kind of ancient curse. It's like, who buried a name? It's like, who buried a name of Jersey in the stadium or something? Because every exactly. year is something, man. You know, yeah. Thankfully, this time it wasn't as bad as it looked, man. Guys, Brandon, I'm always been a big advocate for Justin Fields, man. You know, since, you know, he's from around the way over here in Atlanta, man, ever since the, you know, the UGA thing, then transferred over to Ohio State, then the debacle with the Bears, you know, with the Steelers, man. I just want this kid to catch a break, man. Just want a team and organization to kind of go all in on him, because he hasn't had that yet in his whole career. So, you know, man, when I heard about the injury, man, it's just like, man, you can't help but feel like the football gods are still trying to teach this team a lesson. So it's like, man, I hope the Jets get it together, man. I hope they figure out their quarterback situation, man, because ever since the butt fumble, it's been ugly, man.
Yeah, you're right.
It's been ugly. It's been ugly.
Sorry, yeah. I'm going to ask you all this question, okay? You know, baseball, it's starting to wind itself down a little bit. You know, which baseball park is your Shangri-La? Look, if you don't know what Shangri-La is, it's heaven on earth. It's like you go there and you are awestruck by how gorgeous it really is. I'm going to start with Ben, actually, on this one. Just give me one or two, and then we'll go to Adam, then Matt, then Shane, okay? Give us your ballparks or ballpark that is your Shangri-La.
So the easy one for me to say is, you know, obviously Fenway Park, home of the Boston Red Sox. But surprisingly enough, I've been to PNC Park in Pittsburgh, and I know it had some, you know, dislikers out there, but I personally thought that PNC Park in Pittsburgh was absolutely beautiful when I had visited.
You know, I kind of know where Adam's going to go on this one, just because I know his fan base, his fandom. But Adam, where is your Shangri-La?
I got to go with T-Mobile Park. It is also like one of the highest rated ballparks as far as just like beauty, concessions, everything going on there. When I first started going there, it was called Safeco Field. So it was kind of weird switching to T-Mobile Park. Now it just feels right now. One of my favorite parts is being a T-Mobile customer. I get get like a special entrance. So anytime there's giveaways, that always is like a good sneaky little way to get them. And shout out to the Mariners getting Josh Naylor yesterday from the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's a great trade. Huge move. He's batting fourth in the lineup today. The game's going to start here in like an hour and a half. So very, very excited to see that. It's actually been like a long time coming because the Mariners have been interested in years past and they've just never been able to get a deal together. So, and relatively speaking, it was, they didn't have to give up too much. They gave up Brandon Garcia, who is our 13th best prospect. Just got a slight look at him the last week and a half, pitching a few times. But I mean, I do think he has a lot of potential. But for a win now trade, couldn't be happier. And I think the Mariners are, what's exciting about the season is, you were saying it's kind of winding down. I think it's kind of just heating up. What's exciting is I think there's like a good 10 teams that could win the World Series this year. Some people thought it was the Tigers. Now maybe it's the Brewers. Could be the Cubs, but like the Mariners are firmly in the mix. I did power rankings yesterday and I had the Mariners sneaking in as my 10th team now. That was before the Josh Naylor trade. So really excited to see this the rest of the season and get to some more games at T-Mobile Park as well.
In case you guys can't tell, he is a Mariners fan.
No way.
I mean, and my nephew Remington has gone many times to T-Mobile. He said it's a beautiful park. Matt, what about you? What is your Shangri-La on all baseball parks?
Ooh, well, man, like I said, back in my younger days, man, I was up north a lot. So the old Yankee Stadium, that was, you know, that was. Like, well, maybe because I was a little kid, but for right now, you know, of course you got Wrigley Field out there, man. Got to go with Wrigley, but Fenway Park too. I grew up Fenway Park. But you know, right now, since I spend the most time there, I've been there, man, had to have been there at least 10 times in the last like 6 months, probably. It'll be the truest park right now.
Oh yeah. You can't go wrong with them. All right, Shane. I kind of know where you're going, but I want you to tell everybody where your Shangri-La on baseball parks are.
Well, you've got a number one, and then I've got a top three. So number one is definitely Fenway Park. I mean, just the history and all behind it as a true baseball fan, player, you know, connoisseur of the game, as you would say. that's a holy grail. But then I put number two at Wrigley. But man, my number three might surprise a lot of folks, but Camden Yards.
Okay.
My dad always talks about Camden Yards.
Oh man. It
love it, there.
It's something that a true baseball lover loves to see in a stadium. Like it's close to the city. It's in a part of the city that was kind of ignored in the 80s and the 90s. And you know, it's kind of been bustling ever since, you know, kind of, you know, with hype around the team, or you say the money around the team. Either way you want to say it with these guys, but man, that's my number three on the list. But you know, I've already been to Yankee and I've already been to Busch. So, you know, Dodger Stadium, I know there's an aura around that, but that's, you know, those are only few other stadiums I could think about that would compare to those three.
I love the choices. So my heaven on earth. Oops, my heaven on earth is definitely Truist Park. You know, I've been a Braves fan since 1989, so I've had the privilege of seeing them play at Fulton County Stadium. I've had the privilege of at Turner Field, and I've seen them play at Truist. Back then, it was called SunTrust Park, and they changed it to Truist Park. I've been and seen all that, and it's just something about it. But I think the other definitely is going to be Fenway. A bucket list destination for me that I really want to check out before I do pass away when I'm in my hundreds is Wrigley Field. I want to see Wrigley. Same. Absolutely want to see it. I have heard so many fantastic things about it. By the way, shout out to our good friend Chase Cravey. He is actually going to be coming on our Training Day episode this week to discuss, our Dirty Birds themselves, the Atlanta Falcons. But Shane has a really cool sports story that he's going to share. He actually has two he's going to share. And, yeah, I'm excited to hear this. Shane, go right ahead, man.
Well, I'm going to share two sports stories and then one personal story for you guys. But the first story that I wanted to share with you guys was ACC Media Days this year happened. We saw a bunch of, you know, SEC hate, as you would call it. But I really want to cover what was in ACC Media Days. So you have Clemson here as a secret contender in the college football playoff. Kate Klubnik looks comfortable in what Dabo and them have going on. You know, you look at it, SMU is a viable option. This is probably the first year that you could say, like, maybe this might not be a one-hit wonder kind of deal. Manny Diaz is now head coach at Duke. So you got that to look forward to. Speaking of head coaches, is Dave Doran on a hot seat there at NC State?
A good question.
And then, you know, you get to look at it, and especially if you look how the coaches address the media, Brent Pry and Mike Norvell from Florida State, they put out locker room speeches to the media. They weren't there to play any games. You got that, and then Georgia Tech. Hey, they are a solid contender. I know Matt likes to hear that. The Wahoos, and that's what I'm going to call them just because I'm a Tech fan. But they had the number four recruiting class as far as transfer portal comes to in the nation. So you know, look out, ACC silently is becoming a more complete conference than you say some of the top heavy conferences, say the Big Ten, after the noise that they've made against the SEC. But
you're right on that one.
Yeah, well, that's the big story. Then my honorable mention, you know, NASCAR. I'm a huge fan, but they just announced that they are getting a Chicago Street Course, like I alluded to in a couple of earlier episodes, and racing in the streets of San Diego. And by streets, I mean at the Naval Base Coronado. This will coincide the weekend of June 19th through the 21st, I do believe, with the actual the United States Naval 250th birthday. It's going to be great to watch that. And then another honorable mention, I can say this. I will be in Bristol next Saturday with a couple of buddies, one celebrating his 40th birthday and his son's 18th birthday. And then one just here to celebrate, that take him to the first trip at Bristol and a Major League Baseball game, him and his son. So we're geared up for baseball at Bristol as well.
Oh, man, yes. I cannot tell you how excited. By the way, I'm going to give a thumbs down, folks, real quick. I just told Matt this. If you guys don't see the views and thumbs up that we have right now on the screen for StreamYard, and it's an absolute travesty. It says 28-3. Come on, StreamYard, what is going on with you? Like, come on, man. Here's the flag right there.
That's a great score for a comeback.
Whatever does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it's well embedded.
I don't know what you're talking about, Shane. Right.
So I got we have our guest host on. These are actually a partnership with us. We are beyond thrilled. First off, by the way, Ben and Adam are going to tell you the truth. We all reach out to them quite frequently, and we are honored to have them. But I want Adam and Ben to more specifically to talk a little bit about your show so people can learn more about you. Adam, go ahead, man.
Yeah, so we're Inside the Locker Room. You can find us on YouTube and Instagram at Inside the Locker Room TV. We talk all sports, weekly episodes. We're doing more and more specials. Next week, we're doing a special just talking about Kobe Bryant. We've got at least 5 guests coming on that'll be streaming in and out of the episode. Got an awesome promo video that our fellow co-host Deuce or Brandon made last night. And then, so it's me, it's Ben, who you see here, and then Deuce and Michael as well. So we represent, I'm the Seahawks fan, Ben's the Jets fan, and then we've got Dallas Cowboys with Deuce and Saints, Michael with the Saints. But we try to give all the unfiltered, unbiased takes. We're getting really into baseball right now. Cover hockey during hockey season. We're trying to talk even a little bit of soccer, get the English side in there. And I mean, it's the biggest growing sport in the entire world. So it's an awesome one to cover. And yeah, please tune in next week. Right now the episodes are a little fluid, but right now we've been doing Thursdays a lot lately. And next week on Wednesday will be our Kobe Bryant special. So really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, cannot wait for that one. Ben, kind of give a little more detail about you, please.
Yes, so I'm a New Jersey resident here. Shout out New Jersey once again. I'll shout them out 1,000 times. I feel like New Jersey, being from there, maybe Matt can attest to this. I feel like living in New Jersey is like a superpower. So I will shout them out once again. But yeah, no, Benjamin Rodriguez here, also from Inside the Locker Room, co-host with Adam Blake, as you see here. Yeah, we got a super special set of guys for our podcast. As far as me, you can find me at NFL Playmakers. That's with a Z on Instagram. And also, I'm featured on the Inside the Locker Room TV YouTube channel. Yeah, Adam described it perfectly. We're a group of guys coming together, talking sports, all your favorite sports, and really getting into the nitty-gritty of all this. So great to be on here, and can't thank you guys enough again.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, we do have the joint stream as well on the 29th coming up.
Oh, yes.
So look out Tuesday, for that one as well.
Yep. Come right up.
Make sure you guys do tune in for that if you can, okay? Next Tuesday, the 29th, we have the entire crew of Inside the Locker Room coming on. We have myself, Matt, and Shane. But we have a really special guest, Mr. John Abraham, former South Carolina Gamecock, former Atlanta Falcon, Arizona Cardinal, and of course, Ben's favorite, the New York Jets. We are beyond excited for that one. Real quick, obviously, Matt, I know we've harped on this a lot, but I want people to kind of know, thank you, by the way, StreamYard, for getting rid of that 28-3 indication. We're officially to 29-3, so the 28-3 is done. But Matt, can you let everybody know real quick about the fantasy football, please?
Absolutely, with pleasure, man. Come on, guys, we got the fantasy football league coming out. It's already up, you know, first come, first serve. I'm posted, they can get on X. 12-team fantasy league, half point PPR, just a $10 entry fee, guys. That's it. We're just gonna do a small this year. Maybe if it does good this year, we'll go to 20 next year. But you know, we're gonna start small. So $10 to get in. First come, first serve, like I said, and I'll tweak the invite league again, invitation link again. Winner gets championship belt. Brandon, I saw you sent me a picture of somebody holding up a championship belt.
Jerry did.
Ours is gonna be better. So you know,
you see his expression? No, wait. Here's the expression. ours is going to be better.
So, yeah, man, you know, we're going to have fun, trash talk. We're going to either probably have a group me or a Discord, you know, with the league. It's going to be a fun league. It's going to be heavily active, heavily involved. Of course, the commissioner, you know, fair is fair. I do fair. You know, we keep it fair. And
you know, folks, Matt hits that waiver Wednesday like there's no tomorrow. Hey, Adam, if you do, be careful.
I already got 13. I might as well make it 14.
Hey, we don't have 12 yet. I think we're at 7 now, so I think we need like 5 more teams. I think we're at 7, and I haven't even started promoting yet. I'm really going to start promoting
in August. You got to delete that one team of mine.
So we have 6 teams. So we got 6 teams. So, you know, so far, and so I'm going to start promoting more probably in August. But draft is August 31st, about 7 p.m. Of course, we'll subject to change, you know, might be a little earlier. You know, we want to make sure everybody's able to attend, so we'll do the best that we can to accommodate everybody's schedule. That's why we're putting the draft date up now, so you know, August 31st, the last Sunday before the league starts, and when preseason is done, so you'll know who's injured. You know, you'll know. And every year, there's somebody always, you know, gets hurt in preseason every year. So you know, it happens. You know, it's football. So you know, we'll do that, go through that, see what happens, and we're gonna have fun this year, guys.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that one. Hey, real quick, want to touch up on the CFL. I know not many people watch it. Unfortunately, it is football. It is back. Shout out, though, to Montreal, to Calgary. I believe right now it's Edmonton and Saskatchewan are playing. But, yeah, it there's a lot of great things going on. Adam, I'm going to ask you, man, who do you think at your prediction level, because I know you're a Canadian through and through, but who could play for the Grey Cup, do you think?
I'll be honest, I haven't followed the CFL super closely this year. I do know the Montreal's team name is the Alouettes, and it's the Calgary Stampede. So, I mean, I'll go with my parents grew up in Montreal, so I'll go with the hometown Montreal Alouettes. I think it's the Toronto Argonauts or another team, but yeah, I'll go with the Montreal Alouettes on this one.
I like it. You know, shout out, by the way, to my good friend Chad Owens, who the Flying Hawaiian, he used to play for the Toronto Argonauts. He's actually in the Hall of Fame for the Toronto Argonauts. For those who don't know, he played at the University of Hawaii. He is a legend. And here's a really cool story.
No relation, by the way.
No relation. Chad actually was offered a 3-year, $20 million deal by the New York Jets. And Ben, I hate to tell you this, he turned it down because he absolutely enjoys the CFL. Well, the year he turned it down, he wins the Grey Cup. That was the year that that y'all had Vinny Testaverde as your quarterback. Really good friend of ours. Absolutely enjoy him. And, yeah. Hey, let's give some honorable mentions if we can. Want to give a quick honorable mention, by the way, to the NFL Players Association former director. By the way, folks, his financial actions, they are being investigated for possible criminal actions. Yes, he's in a little bit of some hot water. Shout out, by the way, to the New York Yankees. And this actually kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. Ray McMahon was traded, and he plays for the Yankees. Adam, you know he's very well, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a third baseman now on the Yankees, right?
Yep. He just got right there, and congratulations on them. Hey, shout out to all those 100 NFLers who are being investigated for being in trouble for the Super Bowl tickets, up to 1,000% more than what their face value was. They are getting in some hot water. Matt, this one is actually going to be for you. Well, maybe both. It is for the number one player in the ESPNW class of 2026. She is officially committed to Southern California. Congratulations, Shane. Do you have any honorable mentions you want to give, sir?
Well, honorable mention is just to the good Lord above. I mean, putting us in touch with everybody. You know, Ben, Adam, you know, me, you guys, just by chance, the way we met, man, it's been great. You know, 130 episodes, that says a lot. for us as a team. And, man, I just want to recognize that for sure.
Absolutely. Matt, do you have any honorable mentions you would like to shout out, sir?
Absolutely, man.
Just don't say Bronny James.
Oh, wow. It's a great one, though.
Wow. No, Adam, come on. You're on my side.
Honestly, Brandon, I'm a Lakers fan.
Brandon, to think I would stoop so low to give an honorable mention to Bronny James. Come on, Brandon.
You absolutely would.
Whatever. I'm going to give an honorable mention to year two Bronny James. So
what like, I tell you?
Bronny James is doing his thing.
Let's go.
Doing his thing.
That's the flag.
Year two Bronny is doing his thing. We're off of year one, Bronny. You know, that was the intro phase. Now we're in year two, Bronny. But not also, man, I want to give a shout out, man, honorable mention to the Seattle Mariners, man, for looking like they might do some damage, man, in the playoffs. Them, and also, you know, the listeners out there, man, we thank you guys for, you know, listening to us, man. You know, I don't know how many Brandon has the numbers, but, you know, every single one of you guys, man, you know, just keep listening, man. We'll keep providing entertainment for you guys.
Over 40,000 strong and growing. We appreciate each and every. Ben, do you have any honorable mentions you would like to give, sir?
I do. I want to give a huge shout out to Justin Fields again. He was, you know, quote unquote injured, but he had no limp at all visually that I saw today at camp. So maybe he did want to practice, but they were just taking it cautiously, you know, based on what's happened to every single Jets quarterback the last 3-4 years. But, you know, shout out to Justin. He was still out there, you know, watching every team rep, still signing autographs, taking pictures of the fans. So great seeing my guy Justin out there again. And shout out to Nithin Ramachandra as well. He attended this morning as well with me.
Yeah, Nithin actually commented. By the way, in case you don't know this, he has helped the sports us again. Former NFL wide receiver Jimmy Smith from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, he is joining us on Monday, the August 4th at 7:30 p.m. Cannot wait to have him on. It is a special episode. We really, really do appreciate him for helping us out. And Adam, last but not least, do you have any honorable mentions you'd like to give out, sir?
Yeah, I was going to go with the Seattle Mariners, but I had a backup plan. I'll say specifically shout out to the Seattle Mariners front office for actually doing something, because usually, like, I love the entire team, but usually it's the ownership or the general manager that's not really doing enough. But my other honorable mention is going to be Jeff Garcia, because we were talking CFL a little bit ago. And that's a guy that came from the CFL. He became an Eagles legend later in his career, and had a very, very good NFL career, and one of few players to come from the CFL and really make a name for himself in the NFL.
Absolutely. Look, Matt, I mean, Shane, this is what your buddy here, Matthew, said. My honorable mention would be Edwin Diaz batting 0-30.
X-Mariner. Batting
0-30 against him in the last couple of games. Good one. I absolutely enjoyed that one. Hey, look, Nathan also just said my team and I are good friends with Jeff Garcia. Hey, you know, that would be absolutely awesome to have him come on. Real quick, Shane, let everybody know what Tuesday. Good gosh, Brandon, can you talk much?
Wednesday.
Episode six, the final episode. Can you let everybody know what it's about, please?
Man, it's going to be all about the NFC South. We saved the best episode for last, in our opinion. And Tampa Bay's where it's at.
Todd Bowles, baby.
I ain't think you heard me, Shane Bang. I ain't think you heard me. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't think you heard me.
But anyway, man, it's gonna be this. It's gonna be banter. You know, everybody loves these teams, so. You know, we're going to have a bunch of special guests on for sure. I know I got a couple guys on the Panthers that might have to back me up on a couple things, you know. You know, you're broad-shouldered with it every once in a while. I think we're going to have a great last episode. And as we mentioned, it's the night before the Hall of Fame game. So, this last episode – everybody tune in. We're going to have some great banter, some great talk. Want everybody to comment and join, please.
Yes, and it will be at 7:30. Like we told you guys to start the show Tuesday, we have John Abraham, former South Carolina Gamecock. He is a former New York Jet, former Atlanta Falcon, and Arizona Cardinals. Linebacker / defensive end. I like to waver more towards the end just because that was my position I played, and I absolutely loved it. Can't wait to have him on. And we have our good friends, Ben, Adam, Deuce, Michael. Literally the entire room is going to be jam-packed with everybody here, and we cannot wait for that one. Then, yes, it's going to be more than fun. It's going to be electrifying. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait for that one. Real quick, also, guys, to let you guys know, again, Monday, August the 4th, we will have former wide receiver of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jimmy Smith, will be coming on. Can't be more excited because our good friend Nathan did help us out with that one. We cannot wait for that guest. So for everybody who tuned in, we absolutely appreciate it. For our good friend Marnie Schneider, who has tuned in, absolutely honored that she took time out of her Friday evening to come on our show. We absolutely appreciate her. Ben, tell everybody your parting words, sir.
Adios.
See, what is it? You know, the old acronym, keep it simple, stupid, or the KISS acronym. Yeah. He did good on
KISS
that one.
Method.
Amen.
Yeah, the KISS method, love it. All right, Adam, give your parting words, please.
Since you're about to do the NFC South episode, I'll say I got a hot take. Bryce Young to Tetrell McMillan. Watch out for that connection this year. I think Tetrell McMillan's going to have a top 10 wide receiver year, following the footstep of Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, all the rookies last year.
Don't blow
he's,
up my
he's
fantasy
good.
Draft.
He's a beast.
Don't blow up my fantasy draft.
And Matt, what do you tell everybody not to get done, sir?
Absolutely, man. You know, it's the weekend, guys. So, you know, when the weekend comes up, Brandon, put me on the big screen. When the weekend comes up, guys, what you want to do is you want to play by the rules. You want to make sure, you know, you stay out of trouble. But if you're going to drink out there, guys, you know, do it at home. You know, don't get flagged in the game of life. The last thing you want to do, or the last thing you want to have happen to you, is you're driving down the road, not in the lines, and you hit a whoops behind you.
I love when he says that.
Yeah. And guys, when those guys get behind you, you know, it's not pretty. The weekend, yeah. Thank you, Shane, for the lights.
What was going on? You know,
guys. I mean, honestly,
a dance party was starting.
Yeah, man. The back end of this car is not pretty, guys. The seats are not soft. They are hard. They're hard plastic seats. And then when you get into the cell, you're not seeing the judge till Monday. You know, and when you're inside,
maybe Monday.
And guys, powder, you're in a holding cell with about 15 dudes, and there's only one toilet, and it's out in the open.
This is coming from experience,
not pretty, guys. Not pretty. You know, you know, the food you get, your peanut butter comes in a packet like it's ketchup. So look, man, guys, that's the
best thing there is.
Yes,
it's really simple, guys. It's really simple, man. You know, if you feel like you want to drink, either catch an Uber. You know, catch an Uber, but do not drive. Do not get flagged in the game of life. It is not worth it. Enjoy your weekend, guys.
Matt will come and help you.
Matt will not bail you out. That will not happen.
Not call my phone.
Exactly. But enjoy your weekend, guys. Enjoy your weekend responsibly, like adults.
Absolutely. Shane, and what do you tell everybody, Shane?
Hey, man, as always, it was a pleasure, and I hope everybody had fun. Hope everybody checks us out on these future episodes, man. We're gonna have a great time. But as always, may the good Lord bless. Peace, love, and bacon grease.
Peace, love, and bacon grease, indeed. Hey, real quick, shout out to my daughters. Aspen just turned a year old on a Wednesday. Shout out to my baby girl. She is the light of my eye. I love her to death. And my girls return tomorrow. The Prodigy children have returned. Mm-hmm. Commencing the noisy house.
Exactly. I was about to say, return to give Brandon a headache.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He loves it.
Yeah. We'll hear about it.
Yes, the loud children, the sibling rivalry has returned. But yes, we're going to have a huge celebration. Shout out to my mom, my stepdad, everybody who's coming tomorrow. Absolutely appreciate and love you all. Yes, but as I always tell everybody, peace up, A-Town Down White. It's the greatest sports city there ever was. You guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you to all who have tuned in. Let's see. Yes, Shamar Stewart signing his
room.
Correct. Yes.
Fully guaranteed.
Yeah, fully guaranteed. It's like, what, 4 years, 18.75 million, something like that.
Yeah, just under 19. Yep.
Yep. So shout out to them. But, you know, guys, y'all have a wonderful evening. Thank you for everybody who tuned in. We absolutely appreciate it. We will see you on Tuesday. You'll see all our lovely faces again. Until then, have a wonderful weekend and enjoy this outro. Adam and Ben, don't go anywhere, but enjoy this outro.
Remember, Marty.
Do what?
Remember, Marnie, don't join the Panthers all that money. Stay with the Eagles. Stay with the Eagles, Marnie. Stay with the Eagles.
Calm down. There's always. And hey, I even wore the Earnhardt shirt for the Mooresville connection. So, hey, she might get comfortable.
Good night, y'all.
All right, guys.